For countless centuries, the people of the world knew China only through her paintings. The fantastic scenery and unusual landscapes are not the fanciful creation of artists, but the reality of China. Perhaps nowhere else on earth does one country encompass such a diversity. From the vast western wilderness of Xinjiang province to the harsh deserts of Gansu, from the fabled mountains of Tibet, the roof of the world, to the tropical rainforests of Guangdong.
I am Li Bai. I was a poet in the 8th century, the Tang Dynasty. But that's not important now. I've come to show you modern China. These are the grasslands of Inner Mongolia. Traditions are very strong here, such as giving passing strangers some tea. Oh, you go on ahead. I'll be right there.
In my time, I traveled all over China, and everywhere one sees our history. Begun 24 centuries ago, the Great Wall once stretched like a dragon across the northern border of China. Now, like many other historical treasures, it is one of China's legacies of the past. For 8 centuries, this dangerous intersection of 3 rivers has been guarded by a silent stone sentinel, the giant Buddha of Leshan. China also has a living legacy of her past. The classic Peking opera. In the center of Beijing is perhaps the greatest legacy of China's imperial past, the Forbidden City. For over 500 years, it was the center of the earth, and no one entered without the permission of the emperor. Since the declaration of the People's Republic, the Forbidden City is no longer forbidden. Twenty-four emperors, called the Sons of Heaven, ruled from the Dragon Throne. When I first came here, I was overwhelmed by its sheer size. Today, it still has the power to humble. During the European Renaissance, the emperors of the Ming Dynasty built this walled city of 6 palaces and 9,000 rooms. How dramatic that moment must have been when the common people first entered these once hallowed grounds. Gone are the landlords, warlords, and emperors. It is now a special place for all Chinese. Why do I live among the green mountains? I laugh and answer not. My soul is serene.
We have had a long history. Much of it has been recorded in this fashion. However, it may be said that the history of the Chinese people is not written in ink, but with water.
Water, at times too much and sometimes not enough. It has been China's sorrow for ages. Along the 3,000 miles of Yangtze River live and work one-tenth of the population of the world. They are no longer the servants of water, but its master. Rice terraces climb like a thousand steps up the mountain walls. The green fields stretch across the plain. All things pass with the east flowing river. Suzhou. Its very name means plentiful water. This 3,000-year-old city sits on the Grand Canal, the largest man-made waterway in the world. Many travelers have passed this way. Marco Polo, for example. He once called Suzhou the Venice of the East.
I suppose if I had traveled to Europe, they would now call Venice the Suzhou of the West.
At the end of those east-flowing rivers is one of the world's greater cities, Shanghai. Its European influence is unmistakable, but its vitality, variety and sophistication are distinctly Chinese. Ah, Shanghai, a city of cosmopolitan delights. Morning exercises along the West Lake make Hangzhou seem worlds apart from Shanghai. I first made the difficult climb to the top of Huangshan during the Tang Dynasty. It hasn't changed. The formations, the solitude, the weather, all create a feeling of serenity. A poet of the Ming Dynasty once wrote, "After seeing the five sacred mountains, ordinary mountains are nothing. After seeing Huangshan, the five sacred mountains are nothing." China is so vast that even within her borders, there are distant lands. In the far northeast, there is Heilongjiang. Winter here can last 6 months. Where others might curse the climate, these people celebrate. Far to the south is Yunnan Province, where the Shilin Stone Forest is one of the unique works of nature. Here, too, is the homeland of one of China's national minorities, the Yi people. The great western frontier lies the wilderness that is Xinjiang province. Its capital, Urumqi, is so far from any ocean, it is the most inland city on earth. Tibet, a land that will forever seem timeless and remote. The Potala Palace dominates the city of Lhasa. The way Buddhism dominates Tibetan life, this 17th century palace of 1,000 rooms and 10,000 altars is the center of their religion. Living at the roof of the world, an altitude of 12,000 feet, the people endure a harsh lifestyle with determination and courage. Jia Yuguan in Gansu province was once a way station on the ancient Silk Road. Oh yes, I almost forgot. Out here in the Gobi Desert, one also finds the extreme western end of the Great Wall. With its tail lying in the desert, the dragon's head lies thousands of miles to the east at Shanhai Guan, where it drinks from the Bohai Sea.
It's only me. I brought you to a place of unique beauty called Reed Flute Cave. The same forces that shaped these pillars of stone have done a more remarkable job directly above us.
The landscape of Guilin is unsurpassed in all of China. Indeed, all the world. The unusual hills are limestone formations called karst. They were thrust upward from an ancient seabed and then eroded by wind and rain. Whatever their origin, for centuries they have been the subject of countless artists and poets, like myself. River winds like a silver snake through scattered dragon's teeth. Whoever looks on this loses himself in eternity. Well, we have returned once more to Beijing, having seen the face of the land from both far and near. But there are other faces to China.
We're now at the Temple of Heaven, where we've come full circle. I wrote a poem many years ago. It's like this. This is the place where we must sever. You go thousands of miles, my friend, once forever. Like the floating clouds, we drift apart. The sunset lingers like the feelings of my heart.